Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, US President Donald Trump has called Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky a dictator without elections, stepping up his attacks as tensions soar between Kiev and Washington. Earlier, President Zelensky accused Donald Trump of succumbing to Russian disinformation after Mr. Trump blamed Ukraine for having started the fighting and suggested Mr. Zelensky was hugely unpopular. Well, for some reaction and analysis to all of this, we're joined now by Errol Moorcock of Republican Overseas UK and by Maria Messentseva, who's a Ukrainian MP from President Zelensky's Servant of the People Party. And you're both very welcome to the programme. Maria, every time you look, there's a new statement from one person or another. And in just the last couple of hours, we see President Donald Trump has said in a Truth Social post that President Zelensky, quote, better move fast or he won't have a country left. What's your reaction?
Well, I'm catching up with the news as I'm moving through the country currently. I hope the signal is okay so I can comment on that. This is pretty interesting to have such, you know, some changes within just 24 hours. Well, point number one, the fight of Ukraine, of Ukrainian nation, Ukrainian army, and President Zelensky is the leader of diplomacy is justified because it's Ukraine who's the victim. And it looks like from the statement that it's a reversal, that Russia pretends to be the victim. The popularity of President Zelensky, according to the recent polls, is over 57%. So definitely this is not 4%. We don't even know where these figures are coming from. I think mostly what has been written was influenced indeed by Russian propaganda. Otherwise, I can't assess why such statements are made. Today's meeting with high rep on Ukraine and Russia, Kit Kellogg, who visited the capital of freedom, Kiev, was quite productive. And, you know, and then later on this tweet on of Mr. Trump arrived. I do think there might be some, you know, but there are a lot of misunderstandings, and the task of Ukraine currently is to deliver exact and strict information, of course, and surely on the support. And we know that the figures of support jointly of the continent of Europe, so EU and beyond, is bigger than the support solely of the US. So, you know, we don't even like to compare who gave how much, because it's irrelevant, because every help matters. Of course, we're thankful to US partners and everyone who joins this support. But I think also the figures were wrong, and we know the exact ones. So, the nation stands behind President.
We saw initially Volodymyr Zelensky coming out and talking about how President Trump is in this disinformation bubble, as he put it, and trying to correct some of those statements that Donald Trump had made. But then in response to that, he does seem to have provoked the US president even more, because we got this Truth Social post from Donald Trump calling Volodymyr Zelensky a modestly successful comedian who he says hasn't had elections, that he admits that half of the money that was sent to him by the United States is missing, and that he's very low in the Ukrainian polls, and the only thing he was good at was playing Joe Biden like a fiddle. He called him a dictator without elections, and again saying that he better move fast or he's not going to have a country left. It's all very, very threatening, really, I think.
Oh, I'm sure that, well, Ukrainian President Zelensky is very talented in many things, including diplomacy. I think you know, if there will be any response, there will be a very smart and honest response. Actually, President Zelensky gave a big press conference already today while this post, I think, has been written in the progress. And I continue receiving supporting messages from all over the world, I must say, from very unpredictable countries, even from, you know, from China. That's weird.
Really?
That, you know, I'm shocked.
And who in China is sending those messages?
I can't. It's a business sector. I can't mention people, but I'm just, you know, I immediately felt like it's the 24th of February, 22. Like, you know, the messages are keep on rolling from different parts of the globe, supporting with the words of support. Maria, if you need anything, well, everything we need right now is the unity of Europe, is the continuation of sanction, continuation of the weaponry production and support of our security in the continent and beyond. We shouldn't be provoked by, you know, posts on X. I'm sure both presidents will have a big, honest conversation, but it's so much which fell out from the context, like war crimes, like prisoners of war, civilians in
Stay
captivity,
with us,
deported
Maria,
children.
if you don't mind,
Yes.
because we also have
Thank
Errol
you.
on the line, as I said, from Republicans overseas. And your reaction, Errol, to what President Trump has said today?
Yeah, it sort of speaks to the atmosphere of his voters. I think the American voter, along with President Trump, is sick and tired of how this war was conducted, how the money was allocated, how it feels like that it was a one-way street and nothing has been achieved. When he mentioned Zelensky as a dictator, I think in text it looks a lot different than if you consider the point being there are not elections going on. There aren't elections going on, and there's money being misappropriated. And frankly, it seems like there's been no effort for detente whatsoever. So this is very Silicon Valley. Move fast and break things. If you want to have, if you want to have peace, you're going to have peace between the US and Russia. The rest of the players in this game are actually not involved. This is a war between the US and Russia, and all they've done is they've used Ukrainian lives to gum up a Russian war machine that doesn't care about the Russian soldiers it sent there to lose whatsoever. And Mr. Biden has completely botched this, and the Russians have invaded the East. And unless you want to commit half a million British, half a million American lives, and $1 trillion, you're going to need peace. And Zelensky is not somebody who seems like he wants peace. When he said, "I want a ride, I don't want a ride, I want ammunition," that condemned millions of people to their death. There had been a peace agreement that had been signed in Istanbul, and Boris Johnson went over there and negated it and said, "No, let's fight to the
Which
death."
peace agreement? To be defeated, for my home city, Kharkiv, to be absolutely destroyed, the army protected many
How is the city
regions.
now? Is the city
The
doing
city is
well now?
okay. The city is doing great. I live in Kharkiv, and the city is doing great,
Wonderful.
and
I'm
my
glad that
family
that
lives
city's
there.
doing great, but
But
majority of cities have
you're
been
saying
destroyed.
that we were supposed to put the hands down and invite Russian army to march into the independent state of Ukraine. That's what you're
And
saying. So you're
I'm
saying the
not.
peace talks could have been conducted. Please remember, in March 22, the three trips were conducted to Minsk, Belarus, to have this conversation. It was not serious. The delegation of Russia disregarded all the options. There was no one to be talking to. It was an absolute fake of peace
All right, Errol,
negotiations.
do you want to
We
respond to
tried
that?
many times.
Well, we simply don't believe that the overtures for peace have gone anywhere, and we do not believe that there is any end to this war, and we do not believe, frankly, that you can win this war
Okay,
without.
so
We
can I?
can't. With current capabilities, no one can win this
Okay,
war.
can I
We're
ask you,
not
Okay, so then
capable.
let's have peace.
Okay, so can I ask you,
Of
Errol, just in
course, but
terms
it
of.
has to be just peace. I
Okay.
agree with you.
Okay, Marie, I think everyone wants peace, and it's just a question of how we get there. Errol, can I just ask you about some of the statements made by Donald Trump? For example, that Ukraine started this war. That's just not true.
Absolutely.
And I want Errol to respond to that.
I think he's speaking to the larger picture of the encroachment of U.S. and other Western militaries on Ukrainian territory that eventually provoked Russia. Now, I don't agree with that
So what does
technically
that
as
mean? The
100%.
U.S. started this war is what he should have said by that logic.
It might be a better argument, actually. The neocons and Victoria Nuland and the U.S. globalists who went around doing regime change and color revolutions all around the world, darn right they had their hand in this. And they had this hand in this since 2014.
Okay.
And so maybe Donald Trump isn't a very eloquent tweeter about it, but I think that's what he was saying.
Well, he wasn't tweeting, he was speaking, and it's not eloquent, it's untrue.
Well, it's certainly
It's just
it's untrue to
disinformation.
say that Ukraine started the war directly, but it's not untrue to say that the players in this game have been playing the game far before the Russian invasion. We're talking, go back to Crimea. All of this happened when people involved, not the Trump administration involved, different U.S. regime was involved, and that regime was very interested in regime change. You look at Lindsey Graham, a Republican, gleefully talking about gumming up the war machine in Russia with dead bodies. That is not the policy of the people who run the country now. And so when we say something like that, perhaps it's not the best way of putting
it.
But I think that's the context
behind it. I'm going to try and follow through the logic here then. And you're saying that perhaps it would have been more accurate for the president to say the US started this war. If that's the case, is the US now saying we started this war and now the answer to this war is that Ukraine gives away a large amount of its territory and gets no security guarantees, and they really just have to suck that up? Is that the position that we're in?
I don't know. Of course, no security guarantees. This is part of negotiations. We need security guarantees. NATO admission is a different thing than security guarantees. But as far as what's already been conquered by the Russian Empire illegally in the East, you have two options. Fight them to the death for it, which we can't do, or we're going to have to make some sort of concessions. And it's going to have to involve an incredibly strong and robust defense of Ukraine going forward, because Ukraine has lost this war. The heroes of Ukraine have fought and died and lost the war to these barbarians who have come and stolen their country. And now we're left with no options here but to negotiate. It's not a great situation. And it's the mess that was left behind to us by our predecessor.
Maria?
Well, Ukraine hasn't lost this war. It's by saying that you are just slapping every soldier at the front line who defend your values, the values that U.S. were founded upon, the values that EU was founded upon, the democratic values. And it's very you know, hard to accept for me as a member of a family which fight the Russian aggression since 2014 on the ground daily. Moreover, in 2022, we faced this aggression. We fought it back. We saved 80% of our country. Yes, indeed. We can't currently, with current capabilities, regain 20% of it. But we can't, just say all that was for nothing and we give up. We will not give up. Ukraine will fight back with nation backing the President Zelensky. And I'm sure the deal which we have on minerals have to be considered very seriously in partnership with the US. That's where we have to find the partnership, okay. Not to listen to what Russia is insisting on, because it's all based on disinfo and their imperialistic ambitions. As you rightly said, Russian Empire is still there.
Just a final question to yourself, Errol, and this is a tweet from John Bolton in the last hour, former security advisor to Donald Trump, and he says Trump's characterization of Zelensky and Ukraine are some of the most shameful remarks ever made by a US president. Our support of Ukraine has never been about charity. Our way of life at home depends on our strength abroad. And if you pair that with what Maria is saying about getting texts from Chinese businesses giving support, do you think that this could be very damaging on the US strength abroad?
I don't. I mean, keep in mind, John Bolton is frozen out. Many of us find him to be a war criminal who in a different situation will be strung up in The Hague for what he's done. So John Bolton is not somebody who we look towards as a moral compass whatsoever. He's a war hawk who doesn't care how many people die in the world. And I think the United States has realized this is a multipolar world order. Like Secretary Rubio said, there is no more indispensable nations. Each country needs to look out for their own. America cannot be an open purse for everybody's concerns, and we need to look at the world through a 21st century lens, not John Bolton's neocon war hawk, war to the end perspective that didn't get anybody anywhere but a bunch of dead people in the Middle East while he was involved.
All right, thank you very much, both of you, for joining us. That is Errol Moorcock and Maria Metzenseva.